This is a download from BFM 89.9, the business station.
Welcome back to The Morning Run. You're here with Lynn, Julian and Xiaoning. Corporate results seasons for first quarter of 2019 has just ended. So to get an overview of how Malaysian companies performed this round, Xiaoning, you speak to Jeremy Goh, head of research at Hong Leong Investment Bank.
What's the main takeaway from first quarter results season?
Honestly, the main takeaway from this first quarter results is pretty much the same as the previous results seasons, being that the proportion of earnings disappointment continues to outweigh the positive surprises. For the first quarter results, we saw about 40% of the stocks within our coverage coming below expectations, another 44% coming in line, and only 16% posted positive surprises. These numbers were also pretty much similar when compared against the consensus forecast. On a brighter note, we did see selective GLCs posting positive result surprises, such as Tenaga, TM and Felda, which stemmed from better cost controls. Although not really a GLC per se, DRB also reported positive earnings surprises driven by the turnaround of Proton.
So we drill down and look at the numbers in greater detail. What sectors were above expectations and which were below?
Okay, I'll start off with the disappointments first. They were plantations, construction, oil and gas and tech. For the plantations, weaker realized CPO price was the key culprit, as for the first quarter of this year, the CPO price averaged close to 2,002 per metric ton versus about 2,005 during the same period of last year. For the construction sector, the results shortfall mostly came from lower than expected construction progress billings, given that the reviewed projects post GE14 have yet to really kick back into full swing. And also we saw the impact from lower order book replenishment post GE14 now starting to kick in and dent a bit on the earnings. Within the oil and gas space, margins for the projects executed were lower than what we had anticipated. And lastly, the disappointments from the technology sector resulted from major global inventory adjustments, weaker smartphone shipments, as well as a weaker USD versus ringgit quarter on quarter. In terms of the positive result surprises, the auto sector was the only bright spot, with positive earnings surprises coming from DRB, mainly on the Proton turnaround. B Auto, which saw strong Mazda sales within Malaysia, and also MBM from the stronger contribution from its associate Perodua.
So considering all this, have you had to readjust your KLCI year-end target and change any of your stock recommendations as a result?
Yes, after the first quarter results season, we saw that the KLCI aggregate earnings growth for 2019 is forecasted to come in at only about 0.8%, which is pretty much flat year-on-year versus the 2.1% that we were earlier forecasting. In terms of our top picks, we started off the second quarter with 10 top picks comprising a pretty balanced mix of larger and mid to small caps. They were Maybank, Top Glove, Sunway, IGB REIT, Time, DRB, Burma's Auto, Taliworks, Franken and Lehan. Now, as of the eve of Raya, all of these picks registered positive returns, both on an absolute and relative basis. Now, post-result seasons, we have done some minor tweaks to our top picks. We have removed IGB, B Auto, Taliworks and Franken, mostly after recording decent returns, so i.e. Taking money off the table, and replacing them with Tenaga, AirAsia, Dialog and CCM. Now, after its positive results showing, we like Tenaga as an index heavyweight, which is giving quite a decent yield of about 4%, and also earning stability coming from the IBR mechanism. AirAsia, which is giving out that 90 cent special dividend, should be well supported because of that, and also bearing in mind that we are seeing falling oil prices, which should bring jet fuel prices down. We like Dialog also for the volume growth for Pengerang Phase 2, as well as CCM, being a proxy to the rapid play via its supply of the caustic soda.
And what are your expectations for second quarter results season, considering all the external uncertainties, especially the ongoing US-China trade war?
Okay, yeah, this is a really tricky question, considering that all of these external uncertainties, namely US-China trade war and Brexit, will definitely continue into the remainder of second quarter and possibly even into the second half of this year. At the rate things are going, we most definitely don't see any trade resolution between US and China by the G20 summit this month end. So that's definitely going to prolong into the second half of this year. As for Brexit, I think it's pretty much a foregone conclusion that the uncertainty will persist until October. If the Prime Minister outcome in UK goes to Boris Johnson, then definitely the risk of a no-deal Brexit does increase as well. So if you were to ask my take on the second quarter results, I'm pretty sure the magnitude of disappointments will continue to outweigh the positive surprises, albeit at a lower pace to what we just saw in the first quarter. This is because earnings forecasts for the KLCI stocks are already quite low as it is. We are only looking, as I mentioned just now, at a 0.8% earnings growth for the KLCI index in terms of earnings growth. And I think most other research houses are also targeting low single digits as well. So with the bar already set low, hopefully next quarter results will see fewer misses.
And if we just look at domestic issues, what perhaps could also affect markets?
Okay, if we talk about domestic issues, I think that there are two sort of lingering matters that are still hanging there. Number one is the Norwegian sovereign fund, I think a couple of months back, has announced that they will be exiting emerging market bonds, right? And that will present, I think, a total of 7 to 8 billion potential outflow from Malaysia when that happens. And on top of that, there is the issue that Malaysia may be dropped out from the WGBI or WGBI World Government Bond Index, which will be reviewed sometime in September. Now, if that happens, then we are expected to see another 32 billion worth of potential outflow from Malaysia. So collectively combining these two issues together, the worst case maximum outflow out of Malaysia could total up to be about 40 billion, which is quite a sizable amount. Now, this, of course, will present a lot of weakness to the ringgit and also risk aversion towards Malaysian asset classes in general, including equities.
And that was Jeremy Goh, Head of Research at Hong Leong Investment Bank, speaking to you, Wang Xiaoning. And overall, not really an encouraging start, I take it, to 2019, since only 16% of the results were better than expectations.
Yeah, the first quarter results season this year was actually very similar to that we saw in fourth quarter last year. There was very marginal improvement. As a result, most houses actually have kept their index targets between 1700 to about 1750, which isn't very optimistic at this current juncture.
I'm just wondering what this will do to the FMKLCI and the, even to some of the unit trust performances for Malaysia, because KL as a destination for investing hasn't been done doing very well, right? It's one of the poorest performing markets in the region.
Yes, it's the only market that's actually red at the moment. We have a negative 2% year-to-date return. The Chinese markets have actually done extremely well. I think this is on the back of expectations that their index weightings in global indices will actually increase.
Yes, I think we are, and we are actually the only market in the Asia-Pacific that is in the red at all year-to-date so far. So that's not a very encouraging sign. Now, we are coming up on the 9:30 news, and after that, we're going to be having the BBC World Service here on the Morning Run at Manuela Zaragoza is going to be taking on the subject of the global trade in plastic waste. So be sure to stay tuned for that. BFM 89.9.
Thank you for listening to this podcast. To find more great interviews, go to bfm.my or find us on iTunes. BFM 89.9, the business station.